Off the Ball.
In association with Air. Don't miss live and exclusive Premier League action this month on the Air Sport Pack.
This is News Talk.
Welcome back. So under the table payments to GAA managers are as part of the game as any other aspect, really. Peter Quinn, the GAA president, his famous immortal line mentioned in the Sunday Times report into this issue yesterday about looking for under the table payments. Well, they couldn't even find the table. Mick Foley of the Sunday Times, along with Christy O'Connor, did this piece of work. What price success is the headline? Mick, the byline says the rates have declined, but GAA clubs are still willing to break the rules, banning payments to managers. What exactly, beyond mileage, what exactly under GAA rules are you allowed to pay managers?
Well, pretty much what the players would get. So you're really talking about mileage. That's pretty much it. And, you know, I suppose your basic expenses, really, so that you're basically not out of pocket from what you're doing. And, you know, even in the context of what we're talking about here, in a lot of cases, what they're getting, they're making a little bit more than what they should be, but we're not really breaking the bank or anything like that. And also then you have the variance, you know, in terms of some guys are traveling very long distances for not an awful lot, but other guys then are literally crossing a parish to get quite a lot, you know. So it sort of it varies, and it, you know, it's the kind of issue that I suppose under rule it's pretty black and white, but when you actually drill down into the thing itself, it's so embedded now in the culture, and it's such a part of what GAA clubs do. I mean, we didn't even go near the intercounty for this particular exercise. We did this 10 years ago as well. And we just found that the clubs, you know, the clubs told us an awful lot more about how things really are than the intercounty game in some ways. So, I mean, it's when you drill down, it's a lot more varied than simply just black and white, right and wrong, you know.
And how did the fees compare with what you found 10 years ago?
Well, 10 years ago, we did it in January 2008, myself and Christy. And back then, the average price per session, roughly speaking, was between 100 and 150 euros. And now you're looking at sort of somewhere around the 100 euro mark. What we basically did is we just split the country in two. So I took half, Christy took half, and we just went at it. What I found ringing around, and that was that a lot of places, while it seems to have reduced as a practice and the cost has reduced, the actual idea of doing it is still, you know, fairly well accepted as something that's done. And, and you know, sort of like I was even, you know, even when I was kind of getting the figures together, I was thinking, God, you know, there will be coaches looking at this going, Jakers, if I went another 10 miles west, east, north or south of myself, yeah, I could earn a little bit more. Right. And kind of to me, that kind of thinking was, you know, someone actually is probably doing that if they see this. And that kind of tells you kind of how embedded the thing is in the culture, like, you know.
So, you know, the way you said there, say, 100 euro a session might be the going right now on average. And I appreciate, I mean, in a sidebar, you've done a really nice idea where you have the various counties. And for instance, in Kilkenny, rates are more modest, around 40 euro per session, you found, whereas Mayo, it can be 100 euro per session. Dublin can be 125, depending on the sport. So you've used the metric of per session. How are things done on the ground? I presume there is variation again, but like, are some managers just turning up and saying, look, let's not work this out per session. Just throw me 10 grand and I'll talk to you. Or, you know, like 100 euro per session, and then a manager might put on 6 or 7 sessions a week, presumably, and then, you know, bankrupts the club. So that's not viable. So like, how are the negotiations done?
Well, it's all of that. Like, right. I mean, what I, again, kind of making the comparison with 10 years ago, it seemed to be an awful lot more surreptitious 10 years ago. What I found just even asking those kind of questions, it's pretty much, you know, I mean, in some cases, it's just a salary. It's like there's a deal made out for the year and that's it. And the manager will have a price, and then his backroom team as well will have a price, and you pay for the whole lot. In some cases, I found one particular scenario where a club would pay for a block of sessions. But what happened in this case was the manager who was getting paid and the club who was paying both lost track of how many sessions had been done. So nobody knew who owed what or what the situation was, right? So yeah, you have a situation like that. You could have, as you say, a rate per session, and the guy just gets it at the end of the gets it at the end of the session. And, you know, it's interesting you mentioned there, you know, I chatting to people, they were saying, yeah, we had a coach one time who did a load. We're going to, you know, he come in and say, I'm going to get them fit now. I'm going to get them real fit. So first couple of months, absolute pedal to the metal, loads of sessions. And then it eases off. And the next thing, it's time to do some actual coaching. Yeah. In, let's say, when the ground gets better in springtime, and the lads are standing on the sideline looking at this guy going, this guy is an absolute idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. He knows how to run guys around. So essentially, your man is, it's carpet, I mean, I call them carpetbaggers. Like, they make their money. They're like snake oil salesmen. They make their money where it's easy, which is running lads around the place.
Yeah.
And then when it actually comes to the nitty gritty, they're found out, but it's too late then.
Because in the Sunday Times piece yesterday, you said a football club in Ulster spent €20,000 in a year on a management team to make senior level and got relegated. One manager in the Midlands demanded €10,000 for himself before any mention of his backroom team. You said one club who paid a manager in advance for a block of sessions lost track entirely of the cost. Yeah. This is obviously that same story. And then an intermediate club spent more than €50,000 across a few years on outside management teams while building new dressing rooms. Without employing a manager, their facilities would have been completed 18 months before. And so, I mean, we're talking, again, these are all such cliches. We're talking the business people in the town throwing a few quid. We're talking fundraising, a few quid skimmed off the top of that. These are the means.
Yeah, all the stuff, you know, the fundraising, the wealthy benefactor somewhere around the place, you know, it's just anything like that, really. And I make the point, it is a smaller piece there, and I'm, you know, I want to be very careful how I say this, but it was something that I think we have to be very conscious of, and I think GAA clubs have to be very conscious of. I mean, when you have a system like the government sports capital grant, I think the GAA clubs have to be very conscious how they spend that money, and I think the government also have to be very conscious how that money is spent.
And are they entitled to audit those clubs?
My understanding is they can go in and ask questions, no more than the revenue commissioners can ask questions of counties, which has been done in the past from time to time, but not on a widespread basis.
Yeah. So say someone says, I want 10 grand, that's my fee. Like what you're saying is, depending on how far I'm travelling, depending on a few other basic costs, I might be owed 5 or 6 grand anyway, and it's like a 4 grand bonus. Like there's that's at play here too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In the case of that one in the Midlands, which purely for space reasons now, the payoff line on that was the phone was dropped on him. Like the man just dropped the phone. So we're not paying him 10 grand, you know. I mean, that's essentially it. Every circumstance is different. But for me, the fundamental thing, going around the houses, I make the point as well, and I think it's a very valid one, that outside managers have brought a huge amount to Gaelic games and to clubs and counties over the years. They've been part of some of the biggest breakthroughs Gaelic games have ever seen and ever will see. But fundamentally, when you have a scenario like that one you mentioned there earlier, the club that was paying 50 grand over 3 or 4 years, I mean, what, you know, and they're trying to build their facilities up as well. Mm. What you end up with is, in some cases, and clubs need to be really think about this, when you pay a manager, you risk alienating your members, number one. Then when the success, which it inevitably usually dries up after a while, the guy is gone, the club may drift, the members might drift because the guys who've been alienated kind of go, well, what's the point? I'm just going to get another guy in. The coaches below the main guy may not have been encouraged and you know, encouraged even themselves to try and improve themselves as coaches when they're bringing guys in over them.
Yeah.
You know, the facilities have stagnated because the money has gone elsewhere, and then the sort of, when the facilities aren't there, it's hard to attract new people into the club, and ultimately the club runs the risk of dying from the inside out if you're not careful how you do this stuff. And essentially it comes back to the very basic thing of, if you're going to pay somebody, number one, you should be observing the rules, but certainly if you're going to break the rules, and you know, we have to speak in common sense terms here, like, I mean, this is embedded in the culture today. Clubs got to realise you can't spend beyond your means, but that is still happening. I mean, this the first one, as I said, we did this in January 2008. That was pre-recession. We're now post. We've gone through the recession. You can see the impact on the price. Now we're post-recession. One thing that guys were saying, a couple of people said to me, oh, yeah, we had a lad last year. He was on 80 quid a session. Now we bumped him up to 90 for this year. You know, this is only going to go one way if people aren't careful, you know?
Yeah. There was Adrian Barry, a colleague here, was talking to somebody just by chance today who was involved with I can't be too specific, but a Louth, sure. a women's Louth GA team, ladies team in Louth trying to secure a manager, but they're being priced out of it completely at the moment. So, and that was on a fee per session basis. So business is obviously good for a lot of these guys going around doing this. The GAA should legalise it, said one current club manager to you. And that person made a fair point. He said, I'd never be afraid of people in the club knowing what I was getting. It'd be better than the awful feeling, especially when you lose, that you have as an outside manager. You know that some people in the club are looking at you thinking, well, look at your man getting the big bucks. Mostly it's not big money, and those people don't realise what you're putting into the job. So, you know, I remember Pork Duffy saying, we have to decide, I'm kind of paraphrasing him, but he basically said a couple of years ago, we have to decide if we're going to take this on or if we're just going to sit in our hands. And I think, I mean, the general reaction from the GAA fraternity was, I think we'll sit in our hands. I get no sense of a movement towards legalising this, putting this out in the open, clubs having to tell their members what they're choosing to pay a coach, which, you know, what an open and transparent thing that would be. I get no sense that we're heading that way. And I think you and Christy will be doing the same survey in 10 years' time.
And look, it's going to be this way because the guy who sticks his head up and says we should legalize, I mean, really, and I'm not just saying somebody a soundbite in a newspaper or something. Like, I mean, you know, somebody who actually makes this a policy stands and go, lads, we're just going to grab this by the horns, legalize it and go. That guy will be a pariah, you know. And I mean, my own view for what it's worth is that I'm still not convinced that we need to go down that route. I'm really not convinced. And I think you're running the risk of really, really, I mean, the very basis of this whole operation, by that I mean the GAA, is that it works from the bottom up. It works on the goodwill of communities and local people together trying to build something for a community, right? And I completely appreciate that if you bring people in of expertise, they can't be, you know, you have to pay them the money to bring them over to the club and work and whatnot. I don't see why you have to pay them any more than that, though. I don't get that. I'm still not convinced of that. I appreciate from the quote, I totally appreciate the notion that people don't realise how much club managers put into it. And, you know, you mentioned there about a ladies football team. People need to realise, like, that this is right down to junior clubs, you know. This is not something that's just going on with the top senior clubs in your county. It's going on right down to the very, very lower levels in all codes across, like, ladies football, camogie, hurling football. It's everywhere. It's just slightly different variants on the same issue. Now, as you say, like, you know, maybe there is an argument that this thing is just so embedded and the only way to actually address it is to actually formalize it. And what I would find, you know, you could argue like that if you did formalize it, clubs and club members would see immediately how much a fella's getting paid. And suddenly they could actually gauge what success means to them. And they could also gauge what's a spoofer and what's not a spoofer. And guys who made a mess of it in one place wouldn't be allowed to make a mess of it in the next place because everybody would know he got it paid in the last place. Do you know what I mean? So there is that argument that it could actually improve things. But I think, generally speaking, compared, again, and I know I keep going back to comparing this to 10 years ago. 10 years ago, the quality of coaching, education that's there now wasn't there. Even things about things like organizing your club properly, you know, I mean, there's forums now all across the provinces. There's opportunities for club members and club executives and communities to figure out how to organize your club properly. And that includes developing coaches, you know, evolving your coaching base so that you don't have to go outside. I constantly go back to the examples of Nemo Rangers and Cross McGlen. I know that they're exceptional groups of people and they've been exceptionally successful over a long, long, long number of years. But they started out not bringing anybody in and they've never, ever brought anybody in. And, you know, again, it's a very it's not black and white. It's shades of grey, different circumstances everywhere you go.
Yeah.
But there is something in being able to grow your own coaches no more than your own players.
Mick, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much.
No problem.
Mick Foley there from the Sunday Times. Still 1-1 between Everton and Swansea. Football show's next.
Off the ball.
On News Talk. In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.